Good morning. Preparation, preparation, preparation. Anybody who has ever sung in a choir, taken a trip, gone away to school, participated in any kind of athletics, written a test, or been in any theatrical production knows the importance of preparation. And we're in the Advent season, the season of preparation for the celebration of the coming of Christ into the world. And today we're going to take a look at John the Baptist in our search for preparation. As we read from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 8. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." In some versions, 8 reads, "Do the works to show that you have repented." John the Baptist, what a guy. Camel hair coat, clothes, leather belt, appetite for locusts and honey. He might even look strange in today's world, you can imagine that. But Jesus said about him that there was none greater born of woman. Now that says quite a bit considering that Moses, Abraham, Noah, Isaac, David, Solomon, were all born of woman. Now John didn't dress in fine clothes. He didn't live in a palace. He had nothing. Ate grasshoppers. We're not told that he fed the poor. He didn't make large charity donations. We don't know that he faith healed anybody. He possibly didn't speak in tongues. We don't know that he did miracles, drove out demons, or built huge temples or cathedrals. So what makes him so great? Well, John dedicated his life to the Lord. He didn't try to get Jesus into his life. Jesus was his life. John's greatness was in his message. Prepare the way for the coming Messiah. And again, this Advent season, we prepare to receive our Lord and Savior. But how best to prepare? How can I prepare my heart for such a great guest to come in and make it his home? Well, it's not an external thing. It has very little to do with tinsel, or lights, or trees. The answer lies in the life and the work of John. John's work, our text tells us, was preaching repentance. John, with his looks, his message, his life, in a way symbolizes one of the great teachings of the Bible, the law. John blared and condemned and called for repentance. Then came Jesus. Jesus followed with that sweet, gentle message of the other great teaching of the Bible, the gospel. To get our preparation straightened out for Christ to come, we need to follow the advice of one that God sent before Jesus to prepare the world for his coming. John preached the law in all its severity and cried out for all to repent, for the kingdom is nigh. What a beautiful thing to receive the message of the gospel after being so chastised by the law. Just as thirsty you are to the more you will enjoy a drink of refreshing water. The juniors know that Emily Dickinson's poem, "Success is Counted Sweetest," air for those that ne'er succeed. So the message of forgiveness is more joyful when we feel we have no hope. Now, at the risk of repetition, a word about repentance. True sorrow over your actions, which you do, which are contrary to God's word, is true repentance. True sorrow with repentance always means a change in spirit, a change in conduct, and some resolve. And how about us? Have we repented of our laziness and changed that conduct? Have we repented of our cheating in whatever way and changed that conduct? Have we repented of our sins of the tongue and changed that conduct? Have we repented of causing others to sin by our actions and changed that conduct? Have we repented of breaking God's laws and man's rules and resolved to change that conduct? And obviously the list could go on. True repentance is a tough row to hoe. We daily sin much in our weakness. We struggle against repeating the same sins over and over, and we fail with the effort. We're in such a sad mess that we can't even repent properly because of our weaknesses. But we have a mediator, our Savior, who was born to die as redemption for us weak sinners. He did die and make payment for all our sins. And yet we have the terrible power to reject what Jesus has done for us. The perfection of Jesus is ours only through faith. So let it be a lively faith, and with the Holy Spirit's help, have that faith full of resolve. We need, as Matthew says in verse 8, to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Now this should not frighten us, for we spend our whole life trying to conform to God's will, and we have the Holy Spirit on our side. So what is true preparation for the heart? It is true repentance, so that we may receive the message of Christmas much more joyfully. May God grant to each of us grace, not only to confess our sins, but also to continue the struggle to abandon those sins by clinging to His Word. We pray, Dear Jesus, take away the love of sinning. Amen. We close with the first two stanzas of hymn number 351. 351, stanzas 1 and 2.